Hi, this is Matt Joe Gow, and you're listening to Radio Carrum, which is local community internet radio. And we were having a chat about community radio earlier and how important it is to Melbourne, how important it is to the scene here, the music scene, but also the wider community. So check out Radio Carrum. Tune in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. And we're two rounds down for the boys. Learned a lot more this round. Got to see Gippy in action. And as usual, we're starting with a question each, and I have not been able to think of a question. I'm going to say one anyway, because I have one in mind, but I just think the answer will be too similar. But I was at North Melbourne Carlton on Friday, and halftime they had, you know, Brendan Favola come on, kicking for the kids, right? Each goal was worth around $2,000. If you had to pick a forward in the talent league, and I'm going to make this really hard for you and get rid of Murray and Bendigo, which forward would you have in 30 seconds to kick you the most goals to get the most money for children?
That's a really good question, Nathan.
I had that in my head all day, but I was like, you know, you're just going to go with Josh Murphy or Joe Trahan.
No, I wouldn't have. It's funny that you excluded Murray and Bendigo, because I wouldn't have gone with either of those two. Okay. I would have gone with Keaton Matafai Forbes. I don't know why. Wow. My first thought was he kicks a long footy, he kicks a straight footy, he kicks an accurate footy. But either Keaton Matafai Forbes or Charlie Richardson is pretty good from the set shot as well. Yeah. So it'd be one of those two for me.
Yeah, interesting. Will McLaughlin in his form, I'd have him having a kick for the kids at this point in time. But I'm interested. You thought that was an all right question.
Yeah. It was a good question.
Your question.
Now, we were watching different games on Saturday. You were watching a doubleheader on stream or a couple of different games on stream, and I was at Seaford watching a doubleheader there. And I think it was about three-quarter time of my game, I text you saying I'd love it if there was a reality show called Chronicling Chrisso. I love watching Christian Moraes on field. Yeah. He plays with a lot of emotion. Now, I'm going to start with my three players. If we had the money to run a reality TV show, knowing the personality of a lot of these players and knowing the way they are through what we've seen on field and that sort of thing, who would you be following? I'll give my three players first. Obviously, you haven't had time to think about it, whereas I've had some time. My three players would be Lachie Hogan from the Bendigo Pioneers. I think if you head over to our Instagram channel, Craft of the Draft, and go hanging with Hogan, it was a video that we released about 6 weeks ago. You'll understand why I say that. He's got a lot of personality off the field, and I think he's one that has a bit of spunk. So he would be an entertaining one. I also think that Zach Johnson would be a very fun one. He always has a smile on his face, brings teammates together, and always looks like he's living his best life. And I would also do Archer Day-Wicks because he's got a real confidence about him, and I like the way he goes about his stuff. He is another one that you'd love to run out alongside. If I can have an honourable mention that should have been put in there, Zach Harding is very funny, and he's one who anyone that lives within an hour and a half of Shepparton knows that he's got a comedic element to him. He's obviously got a serious side to him as well, and he's a very good footballer, but isn't averse to a joke.
Okay, so Zach Harding's at the top of my list. I didn't say Hogan or Day-Wicks, and I was riding as you were talking because I knew you'd go with him. Levi Ashcroft is quite the character. Compare him to Will, he's the extrovert, and Will's the introvert in that brother relationship. And then Xavier Ivicic, the Zivotron, they like to call him. I think he'd be a pretty good mix. Three boys who probably haven't even had that much contact with each other. I guess Harding and Ivicic should at country level, but Ashcroft probably not with those two. But, geez, you give me these questions that really put me under pressure early. So
we'll move into the podcast. This is a question you've had a bit more time to prepare for, and you watched the game on Thursday night as part of the doubleheader. The girls also played Geelong and GWV. Geelong getting it done pretty comfortably in the end, and it looks like Will McLaughlin had a strong game to, again, enhance his mid-season draft credentials.
Yeah, five goals and everything was falling his way, and it it means whatever happened in round one was not an anomaly. It's two solid weeks of football in a row and a really good contested game for someone who really should be seen as a smaller forward. He gets up early and he knows how to win it out of the pack so well. Gets front position with his leads, and every time he touched it, he was converting at the very least for a scoring shot. I mean, that's 8 scoring shots from 13 disposals, over 50% from every touch. You know, that's a really good record to be going at, and not sure how long he'll be in the Falcons lineup for, but geez, I hope he really gets a good run at it for the Young Guns game, whenever that will be in the near future.
Tell us about some other Falcons that played well. It was probably a day where the Falcons were able to fill their boots. There was less to talk about from a Rebels perspective. We will get to them though, but who else from the Falcons caught your eye?
I'll start with Lachie Jakes, who probably didn't get the attention he deserved the week before. Probably didn't notice him as much last week as compared to this week. And it was this week I thought he really turned around his game from a poor start where he was turning it over pretty in the early stages, not looking too flash. Turned that around really well, was reading it really well defensively. Classy out of D50 and really good courage for his size as well. We know how good he was aerially. I don't think he's been able to show that as much early on this season, so I'm hoping he does get that opportunity. But he changed little things. He still at times disposal was a little off, but it was his intent, I think, that changed and changed up tactically. Was really, really happy with the way he went about it in the end. Joe Pike again was productive for Geelong. I wouldn't say it was as good as his first game, but I think it's just worth keeping a note on how he goes as the rounds progress as a top ager. And then River Stevens presented really well in the second half. That's when he came into it, kicked 3 goals in the end. And that was a testament to the way he played in the second half, was clean with the loose ball, and yeah, it was capitalising inside 50. Someone asked about Cooper Ward on our questions. Good tackling presence, a really good pressure player. Ended up with a goal on the day in 15 touches. I guess Xavier Ivicic had a lot of the ball. He's just clean with it. So, you know, one of those just uses it well and impact purpose.
Very silky.
Silky. Did what we expect of him. Weirdly, I do have a lot more GWV players on this list, even for their loss. And maybe that's just because they've got a lot of these under the radar boys now. And we know when, given they're lacking Lawler, Fall and Penry, these boys get to stand up now. And I think the scoreline, yeah, I guess it reflects the way of the game. Rebels it's just the depth, and Geelong overran them by a certain point. I think the scoreline makes it look way worse than it really was. But I touch on Ollie Hannaford, another 5-star performance in my opinion, just so clean out of the contest. A really good second effort player as well, which is coming to fruition. He's getting put everywhere. He actually hasn't played that much forward time yet, but in the midfield he's just reading it so well. Clean gathers and has a really good burst of acceleration as well. So he's been fantastic to watch. Harry Lawson had some good moments, strong contested marking and was getting around the contest really well. One I want to bring up as well for the Rebels on debut was Fraser Milan, who I thought was terrific on debut. Really, really productive across the ground, and the stat sheet wouldn't show it, but a really good aerial presence, a strong ball user. I just want to like to keep an eye on as the season goes on. I always like seeing those players who pop up and take you by surprise.
Very good. I felt like I wasn't going to get a word in there for a second. But no, that's all
right. It's all there.
It's all there. You've given a very comprehensive summary of that game, we'll call it.
I'm throwing it over to you now.
So
you're going to tell me about Dandenong and Gippsland, and I'll start you off with Tom Hanley. Tell me about his 32-touch performance.
Yeah, I thought it was a really hard-working performance from him. He's one who has had an injury-wretched journey, and it's his first game of the season. He had a really good preseason game a couple of weeks ago against the same opponent. And the thing that just stands out to me is just how many contests he gets to. Wherever the stoppage is around the ground, he seems to be there. He seems to be able to work really hard, covers the ground really well, so his fitness is really high. And then when he gets the ball, he has got a little bit of athleticism and he's willing to put his head over it as well. And I think that is why he was able to win as much of the footy as he was. It wasn't just the 32 touches, though. He also laid a couple of really big tackles as well, and it was a very balanced midfield performance. So he's one that should definitely get an opportunity in the Young Guns game. The question there is, does he have a point of difference on other midfielders? He doesn't have size necessarily on his side. Not that he's tiny. He'd be, you know, low 180s, but he's one that I really like watching at the level, because every time he has played at Coates League, he's proven that he is very competent. It's just that he was injury interrupted last year, but he was aided by some others at the Gippsland Power on the day in a 16-point win. Xavier Lindsay came into it in the second half. He went well, and when he got uncontested footy, he used it really well. And I'll touch on Max Stobie as well. I think he's becoming a really crucial part of that midfield. And Job Scapen, as a bottom major, used it well coming out of the back half. Will Brent, another key part of their defence.
Asher Easton as well, 3 goals. Was a big fan of him last year at the end of the year.
Hardly dropped a mark. He was a very important aerial presence up forward. And, yeah, looking forward to seeing more of him. I guess looking more holistically, I got to see Willem Dersma and Ollie Greaves on the day. I think they're two real contenders for the number one pick next year. And it was really good contrasting and comparing both of their games. Willem Dersma was someone who he looks like he knows where the opposition kicker is going to kick it before the opposition kicker himself knows where he's going to kick it. He doesn't actually go to the position where the kick is targeted until the kicker can't quite pull out. So he times his run perfectly, and, yeah, fair few intercept marks, a fair few intercept possessions, but has such good game sense and was really exciting to watch. I'll touch on Ollie Greaves in a second because he was very good for Easton as well, but he was awesome to watch was Willem Dersma, but that's all from Gippy.
Dandy, I'm probably the most unlucky 0-2 team to start the year. They're probably... That could be 2-0, the way they've been playing. So it's not bad at all. And, yeah, probably sit the best of the 0-2 team, 0-2 teams. Run me through a few of those boys. And similar to Hanley, I'll touch on a top ager first, Benny Hopkins. Just tell me about that first half. I know you were quite big on the way he was intercepting that ball.
I think I texted you saying Ben Hopkins has 3 intercept marks in the first 10 minutes. And then I said, now he's got 4. And then I said, now he's got 5. Now he's got 6. He had got 6 intercept marks in a quarter of footy. That's elite, and that shows the development he's got at North Melbourne's VFL program. So he's really competitive now in the air, and he has always been very competitive as well, mind you. He was able to take contested marks. He did take the kick-ins, so he led their touches, but some of those were from kick-ins. So there is obviously differing opinions in the game about whether those should count as touches. But his kicking efficiency generally was pretty good. He took on some more difficult kicks as well, and, yeah, it was an important part of the back half, understands where the ball's going to go. It was probably more his first half than his second. He showed that run and gun as well.
Noah Meraz came back into the side this week, 24 touches. How do you assess his first game?
Yeah, I think in the first 5 minutes he started like a house on fire. He probably had 3 or 4 contests that were goal-saving. He, you know, laid fists into the ball, halved contests, laid tackles. And, yeah, when he did get the ball, which was often, he distributed it very well. So 24 disposals, like you said. And, yeah, he took a couple of marks, but it was more so his spoiling and his ability to come across and have that defensive principles front of mind that really impressed me. I think he played a very good defender's game and is one to watch as a key defender going forward.
Bottom edge boy that you quite like the look of on the day, Tarion Amu. Tell me about him as a player in general. 3 goals.
Yeah, he stood up in the second half when Dandenong were clinging on for dear life. It looked like Gippsland were going to kick away a few times. I shouldn't say keep clinging on for dear life. They did have some moments, Dandenong, but he was certainly the one that finished them with those 3 second half goals. Took some really good contested marks in the ruck. He uses his size well. He's 198 centimetres, plays schoolboy footy, and played under-16s Vic Country last year, so certainly one to keep an eye on. Another one worth touching on is Noah Hibbins-Hargreaves, who also finished with 3 goals, and really tough, really strong. So a couple of times in the second half where he needed to take a really strong mark inside 50, both of them in the last quarter to to give Dandenong a chance to stay in the game, just as Gippsland looked to be kicking away. Both times he won a really crucial one-on-one, went back and nervously slotted the set shot goal. So really impressed with his performance, another one that's highly regarded internally. And I guess just to touch on, I guess, three others. Harvey Langford had some aerial moments inside 50, which was really good. I thought Cooper Hines showed his class as well. And Harry Doughton for the second consecutive week showed that when he goes into the midfield, he can impact there.
Back to me on Calder and Weston. Calder got the job done by 10 points or 9 points. I don't actually know. There was a point that looked like it got taken back, but I'm not sure what it ended up being in the end. But it looked tough for Weston. I thought they were the better team on the day, and Calder had the wind in that last quarter, and it was, you know, Weston just couldn't get that transition going. But I was very impressed with Calder. I think they could have just fallen away at times with Calder's lead at points in the game. Hard one to assess, I felt, and it felt like that was the general consensus around with this game.
Definitely.
It was no real standout performer, which is weird to say, and the stats would reflect that as well. Isaac Kakko kicked 3 goals, but 2 were, you know, not of any specialty. 1 was a really nice kind of sizes up and snaps. So nothing really there with it. Jaden Nguyen, I thought, got back into form. That was probably the main thing I'd taken from that game. Looked a lot cleaner, and his offensive movement was on point. Not kind of like last week where he just struggled to have a real input. His efficiency was down, and you could tell in the way he was moving as well. But that burst of acceleration, strong tackling presence. Damon Hollow again was good. Just really good kicking. And, you know, he'll get to pretty high speeds when he's running, and he'll still ace it out really, really well. Got a good goal as well.
Harry Ryan had several shots on goal. He caught the eye against Sandy.
Yeah, well, he did it again. Probably didn't capitalize as much as he would have liked, but takes it really well above his head for his size as well. So doing really well to start the season for Calder. I guess when we look to Weston, again, it was Luca Grego who stood up, and I thought he was even better than last week, and he was their best last week, and it's good to see he's consistently improving, composed in traffic, really good kicking vision this week, and was winning it out of the contest really well. Just did things really nicely. Xavier Cardacci, again, 24 touches, was prevalent in their midfield mix, and so with Burden as well. Those boys are natural ball winners. Ask me about a player and I'll tell you if they're on my list, because it is a very hard game to analyse who stood up.
Yeah, Massimo Razzo.
Was getting good separation from his opponent inside 50. I like that ground ball strength. It's easily the best in the competition.
It's
you notice it straight away. It's when the crowd is you're taken back a bit by it.
Watch a Western game, watch him for 10 minutes and you'll understand, because, you know, I've heard coaches talk about it, separate different Western Jets coaches talk about it, and, you know, different coaches speak really positively about their players, and you know, you don't know what to take with a grain of salt and what to take seriously, but this is seriously one to take seriously. His ground ball stuff is ridiculous.
Dante Iacovone is one I'm really hoping to see a little more from, because he got a lot more involved on the weekend, but he just has struggled to really impose himself on this contest, in the contest in general. So interested to see, especially against Northern, probably again a weaker opposition compared to what he'd have, you know, against Sandy. Weston, he had a bit more opportunity, so I'm excited to see where he kind of moves his football. I think he needs to take a little bit of a different direction to impose himself a little bit more. And that's probably where it ends with there. And that background noise is rain. This is Monday night, so apologies if that's coming through quite a lot. But move to Eastern Northern.
We will move to the Eastern Northern game. And it was one-way traffic from the first quarter and pretty much stayed that way for most of the rest of the game. I think Northern got some late goals, which made the margin look a little bit more respectable. But it was set up by the Eastern Rangers midfield. Wowee.
Yeah.
Christian Moraes, 4 goals from the midfield, a prominent ball winner. Josh Smiley showed what he could do as a big-bodied mid, also went forward and was excellent. Showed that he can play inside 50. Probably will want to play better inside 50, I suppose, at some point, just given how highly he is regarded. But still, a very good performance from him nonetheless. One you've absolutely loved that really stood up and really impressed me and arguably was their most influential player was Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. Probably you go the midfielders were better, but certainly Jack Ryan, it's his best game at the level, and there's no doubt about that because he kicked three goals. He got a lot of touches in the forward half, and I tell you what, not only did he do that, but he used his speed to the team's advantage. So it was a really exciting watch, and some of the goals he kicked were really, really important. Well, not important, but showed the breadth of his skill set. So really keen to see him build on that because it's been a really eye-catching first couple of weeks and he has dazzled. He's got that agility as well. So I thought it was a really good performance from him. Andrew Barker, there was no Cooper Drembarth playing and Andrew Barker stepped up seamlessly. He took five marks. He split a lot of one-on-ones, laid his fists into a few balls and was a really tough presence back there. Just missed 16's Vic Metro, works very hard and yeah, in his second game, it was a statement performance.
I'm interested to see from the Northern side. Again, Lucas McInerney, how did he back up round one? Terrific performance from him. Where did he play most of his football and consistent from him again?
Yeah, he was reasonable. I didn't notice him as much. He still won a lot of the footy and that's another one of his strengths on the wing. Sometimes wingers can get lost with the running patterns in terms of being in the positions where teammates can actually use them, but that's clearly a strength of his and probably wasn't a day for Northern wingers just given the way the result played out. But he still was able to get his hands on the ball a lot. I think the standouts for them were Jesse Totolo, who kicked a couple of goals and, yeah, showed his best in patches. Again, it wasn't a four-quarter performance from Northern, which made it tough for him. Roman Moxon was one who backed up his round one performance and was, again, very clean and able to win the footy. Tom Sims didn't get as much of the footy, obviously only kicked the one goal, but I thought he still was an aerial presence, even if he didn't take the marks that he did last week. And I thought Ty Kitchell was another one who deserves a shout-out, and I know his teammate Zach Johnson wanted him to get one, and he does deserve one. I thought he was very good. He returned really well. So yeah, just a couple of eastern bottom ages worth touching on. I said I'd touch on Ollie Greaves. So he kicked a couple of first quarter goals, got a lot of the footy, used it really well. I think every time he had the footy in his hand, it was really reliable and yeah, important in their front half. When he runs through the midfield, he looks like he's at the level as well. So I think he showed why he's highly regarded. I've probably got him ahead of Dersmer at this point. I really like what he has. So he's one to keep a really close eye on. And Lockie Doveston was one who linked up really well as a bottom major for Eastern as well. So those two are really strong. And Jordan Hyder deserves a shout out because his first quarter in particular was terrific. But that sums up that game.
I think we're learning pretty quickly there's a big separation between Sandy Eastern and the rest. If you like in the metro region at least, there's definitely a gap there. So good for the lower half of the metro teams, those boys that are under the radar. And you get those opportunities against those top teams, they show. So
tell us about the Bendigo and Murray match. It was a two-point thriller, one that you were very entertained by. I'll let you kick off in whatever way you choose.
Yeah. Well, I was like to you before. I was like, just let me read my notes. And I said to you, I don't think this is the first time I said to you, go back and watch this game.
Yeah.
If you've got 2 hours of your time, because yeah, it was just so good to watch country football at its best. But these are boys that are at the level, and these are, you know, if we had a power, actually there was a question about power rankings. We will do that next week after the first 3 weeks. We're going to give you our 1 to 13 power rankings, but I'll, you know, my top two country are these two straight away. Such good football to watch. Just like so many moments I could go on a highlight reel from this game. But I'll have to start with, this is hard. I'm going to start with Dayton Ureta because I feel like he's been a topic of conversation as of late. So impressive in that second half. Every time he touched the ball, it was so, so, so impactful. Really strong hands. Tried to take mark of the year at one point. I was like, no, that was Joby Shanahan, my bad. But yeah, just out of the center stoppage, he was terrific. Knew where to move the ball inside 50, set up a few goal assists in the end, and he went inside 50 himself and was leading so well, presenting really well. Could have capitalized even more inside 50, but he's making every moment count. Terrific second efforts, and it's so impressive to watch with him.
tell us about some of the other Bendigo forwards. You touched on Dayton Urieta and you quickly touched on Drave Shanahan there, but their forward line synced so well in the first game. So tell us about Drave Shanahan, James Barrett, Tommy Evans, some of these boys, Taj Bond as well.
Yeah, well, I'll Drave Shanahan. I actually think Murray did really well to mitigate his impact probably through the back end of that second quarter and into the third. But in that first quarter, he was quite unstoppable, was getting front position. And it wasn't even from set shots he was kicking his goals. It was open play. Ball would drop, a really good snap for his first goal, and then really good strength in the contest to push through and kick another goal from about 10 metres out. But yeah, another big-time goal in the fourth quarter as well. The Bendigo were down by 26, and Murray were on top. Like, looked like it could get 5-6 goals ahead, but Bendigo just came back. And Jimmy Barrett, two goals that, yeah, like this, when I say highlight real game, this is it. Like, a really big goal from 50 that got it from 20 points to 14 points, which obviously doesn't sound like a lot, but in the context of the game, you know, that's one of those margins where, one goal either way and that splits the game open. And then a terrific snap from like 30 metres out, faking opponents.
He's not small enough to be faking opponents.
You know, like, it was just a real terrific game to watch from that perspective. Tommy Evans had some impact inside forward 50 towards the second half, but those were the forwards that stood out for me the most for Bendigo, and to add another name to Bendigo's list, would definitely be Toby Trevaglia. Loved his aggressiveness across the ground and had moments where he's more impactful than others. Really good contested hands, I thought, and that's been an area of his game I've been extremely impressed in.
Yep.
He's built that size and it's showing. And you don't expect him to be that type of player, but he definitely is. And Zayden Lockwood, he did a really good job in locking down Jack Whitlock, who didn't have as much impact as probably would have hoped he would have.
And you summed that up really well. Probably the one other one worth touching on is Archer Day. Weeks didn't play due to a corky he sustained in round one. So hopefully we see him back this week, but that's why he wasn't in action. One to keep an eye on though. Now, Murray, because up the other end of the field, you talked about Drave Shanahan, but up the other end, it was Josh Murphy. 6 goals, including 3 of the first 4. Am I right in saying that? It was something like that.
Something nuts. But you know what? I'd start with Joe Barry. Joe Barry was better than Josh Murphy.
Wow.
But I say that Josh Murphy had a few goals where just, he loves a goal. So a few over the top. Like 6 goals, all good goals, but Joe Barry's goals were, again, highlight real stuff. Like, terrific goal from the pocket, check side. One of those, like Isaac Kakko, Nick Watson, just put a sign on the boot and it goes in type of goals. And it was like terrific hands around the ball, really good smarts to set up a few goals inside 50. And 4 goals, I reckon the better things he did were off the ball. So
yeah, tell us about some of those attributes, because there's probably some people listening who knew he had that one good game. Is that a one-off performance? Yes, Murray, have talked about his strong preseason. Let's see him back it up. He has backed it up. You talked about someone wanting to do that before in Will McLaughlin, but what did Joe Barry do that you sort of go, yeah, he's got attributes that could go to the next level?
Yeah, well, it was his offensive movement. I mean, 7 inside 50s, he was opening. It wasn't just goal, goal, goal. His goals came pretty deep inside 50 and they were all a byproduct of his sort of smarts to find a bit of open space, to understand where the ball could move. And at times he wasn't there and sometimes he was, but when he was, it was so effective in the way he was just able to quickly impact with it in hand. So I thought that was easily a best on ground performance over Josh Murphy. I mean, Josh Murphy was terrific, but I mean, for Joe Barry to do it as a bottom major as well, I think it was just even more impressive. And on Instagram, everyone's going off about him and Josh Murphy. But yeah, how good to have two.
He's not a bottom major.
He's not.
No.
Oh, my bad there. Blank there for a sec. But those boys are just very, very good inside forward 50. So. Loved watching what they can do.
Tell us about Cohen Ainsworth. I know he's one you wanted to touch on, and I know he impressed you. Why?
My computer would turn on.
But
Very. I thought he's very productive. One of Murray's best ball users. He kicked 2 goals, was really lively around the ball, and just very good vision inside 50 set up. I think Murray's best comes when they're very willing to lower their eyes inside 50, move it really cleanly and not expect Josh Murphy to be on the end of it. It was just, or a Whitlock for that case. That's where they're most productive. And Cohen Ainsworth was definitely one of the better ball users for Murray, a really, really good contested take in the first quarter as well. Got himself a goal, for two goals, but one, you know, just from understanding where the ball was going to go. Those type of goals and out the back and holding his width really well. So I was really impressed with his game in the end.
And another Cohen Paul is one who has been noted as having a really big preseason, and I think he playing a slightly different position this year to what he's accustomed to. But what did you see from him that you really liked?
Yeah, well, he was good out of D50, took a few of their kickouts, but was playing a predominantly defensive role. I thought his disposal let him down at times, but one of those performances, again, where fix it up really quickly and was still willing and aggressive to take the game on, even when you could get yourself down on a few sort of missed targets early on, but was really impressed the way he went about it, got first hands on it a lot of the time and just used it well as an outlet out of D50. So I think it was, a good backup to his first game against Tassie as well.
Any others that you want to touch on from a Bush Rangers perspective?
Ryder Corrigan, some good moments, and probably the last one, Matt Wheatlock as well in D50, a good intercepting presence. Alex Swinnerton had a very good first half, I want to bring up. Really composed, set up one of Josh Murphy's first goals. Really good chase down efforts that were terrific, I thought, those second efforts. Stood out and give him a bit extra. I think he just needs to put together just that one extra quarter in his game that really will get him that noticeability, I think, because he has his good moments. They've got some good talent, Murray, so I know it's a bit harder, but I think once he puts together like a really good four-quarter game, it's just one of those that will tick him along really, really well.
And yeah, from everything I heard as well, I think his off-ball stuff was something which was really impressive. So that's really positive to hear. And you obviously talk about it with some of the tackling, but also the corralling and understanding where to position himself to try and lock the ball inside 50. We move now to the Sandy versus Oakley game. It's always a local rivalry and it always attracts a lot of recruiters and a lot of attention. It was underwhelming this year. There's no sugarcoating it. The intensity was not brought and I was disappointed because I was keen for it.
That game sucked. That game sucked.
Jeez.
No, okay. Look, I said I was going to be harsh. Yeah, okay. I think Sandy Oakley, the rivalry's there. It was definitely underwhelming. And it's a shame from Oakley because I think they're just that team this year. They've got the top prospects, right? And I think it will just take them a long time to really gel together because they're not bad. Like, it's not... Like, we'll get to tips later, but they're not bad. Sandy are just ultra good. This is a team that's won two premierships in a row, and these, like...
It's very steady coaching at Sandy as well.
Out of RSEA, right? Like, they were never expected to win that game. I think we were just let down by Oakley's...
And I think the commitment. Other thing we have to keep reminding, and we've said it a few times on the podcast, but, you know, Oakley trained once in preseason in their boots. Once. Everyone else trains every night in their boots. They trained once. So the impact that had, we don't know, but I think we're getting a pretty good indication. Having said all of that...
Taj Houghton.
It was the name... It was the day that Taj Houghton announced himself. You said you wanted to sit here and be able to say that Taj Houghton had... the game. He was the player. He wasn't the almost player. He was the player. And guess what? That's what Sunday was. Playing a predominant midfield role. He kicked four goals, three consecutive in the third quarter, and absolutely showed every single thing that makes him Taj Houghton. And his finishing was first class.
Four goals, one, 32 touches, a stat line that... Do you reckon he'll beat that? That's a good question. Do you reckon he'll beat that?
How do you beat four goals, 32 touches, five or six tackles, five or six inside 50s, 10 marks for a smallish medium forward? It was just the prototype game. And he was athletic. He was evasive. He was aware in the forward half. He could have kicked a fifth. You know, Josh Dolan kicked a goal where he probably should have set up his teammate. Was it Bailey McKenzie that did it? Someone did where he was in the goal square. Regardless, it was perfect. Like, his running patterns were elite. He showed his fitness. that there was nothing that is part of Taj Houghton's game that he didn't show on that day. If you want to get an idea of what Taj Houghton looks like and you only want to watch a game, you only want to watch it for 2 hours, you watch that game. Yes, you probably want to see him do it against, you know, an opponent with more intensity, but that was Taj Houghton's game.
Yeah, that was nuts. You summed it up perfectly there, and don't want to add anything because it's a good clip there that you've just given us there. But I want to touch on a few Sandy boys. Luke Trainor's the first one I want to bring up that I thought was really good defensively. His contested work, he was going up for contests and winning them as well.
Well, Oakley went forward twice, I think, in the first quarter that I remember. Yeah. They might have gone forward a bit more, but Luke Trainor took two contested intercept marks from those forays.
And a really good mark as well. He was running... I wasn't running backwards.
Yeah,
he was
sideways running, almost.
Yeah, like running backwards towards the contest face on. And, yeah. You know, like just good courage in that sense. Josh Dolan, another really good game as well, I thought. Just lowered his eyes every time he went inside 50, and it was effective. He was clean. He was quick. Backed up a really good round one performance.
Yeah, he did. I was really impressed with him. And a forward that I don't think I touched on last week, or not with the... love, I probably should have and deserve some love this week, is Bailey McKenzie, who kicked three goals, was really good aerially, was a presence inside 50, was good at ground level and certainly got himself into positions to impact the scoreboard. I think he's one who's had a strong preseason and it's showing, like he's doing everything he can to advance his name. I really like the skill set he's got. It's diverse and it's dangerous inside 50. But the player outside of Taj Houghton that must be noted for Sandy that played as a forward on the day was debutant Archie Ludowick. Yeah, he's one who played Vic Metro under 16s, had a very good sort of 6 to 9 months, very good preseason, has come into this side and straight away took contested marks, kicked three goals, and not only that, but you felt when the ball was in his area, he was going to win it. He wasn't a bottom major and, you know, he was just feeling his way around a talent league team and the level. He was willing to stand up, take marks and be the man for his team.
It's terrific last year in that under 16 Metro Country game. Showed signs from, you know, 16's level. He's a good positioner inside 50 as well. Knows where to put himself and get a good lead, and very excited to see him progress throughout the year. An Oakley perspective, I guess who stood out for you? Kobe Askew, kick three. Good for him. Good for his confidence.
I'd like to see him run through the midfield when the schoolboys leave. Yeah.
What did you make of it? Jagger, 29.
Yeah, I mean, he had minimal opportunities and I thought I did think he made the most of it. Like, he caught my eye a couple of times, but it was a hard day for Oakley forwards. Jagger had 29, showed a couple of glimpses playing off that half forward. I guess the other one I'd give a shout out to was Doug Kerr, who I thought did try hard. I thought when they had occasional... they didn't really ever have dominance, but when they did have repeat inside 50s and were able to get on top for even if it was only a 2 or 3 minute period, he was always involved in getting it forward and worked really hard, I thought, as well. So he deserves a shout out, the Collingwood NGA prospect. But that probably about wraps it up.
Okay.
So we've got to give our tips for the boys for this round. And the first game that we go to is Sandy versus Eastern, which I would argue is...
game of the year. It's grand final preview.
It's a grand final preview, according to a lot of people.
A grand final rematch as well.
A grand final rematch. It's at RSEA Park, 11 a.m. Saturday. That midfield is going to... the other one we have to touch on from Sandy, Sam Marshall, thought he brought his teammates into it excellently, was really unselfish, you did it really well. But that midfield is going to contain Levi Ashcroft, Sam Marshall, Murphy Reid, possibly Taj Houghton against... Christian Moraes.
And Solzberger, against
Christian Moraes, Josh Smiley, Cody Anderson, and Ollie Greaves, if he runs through there as well, and Mitch Gammel, who was really good in round one. So it's stacked in that midfield mix. And, you know, that's not touching on some of the other players that both of the teams have got as well. So it's going to be a huge game to watch, a very fun game to watch. And, perhaps this is the game where someone really announces themselves who's winning.
I think Sandy, I think I said Eastern will beat them come the end of the year. I think Sandy are very well ahead. I think they're easily won by quite... I think Eastern still need a bit of gelling. That's kind of what I've gathered. I don't know. Maybe it seems off because they're winning convincingly. But if you compared their best, I think we saw against when Eastern played Oakley, if they didn't kick straight, it's probably a different story. They're still just that little bit, just need a bit talents there. Gelling still need a bit of work. Sandy win this by 14 points.
I know a lot of people at both these clubs, and I know whichever way I go, I'm going to get messages from the other club.
The amount of people, don't talk to us.
Yeah. You know. I don't know. It's a flip of the coin. Say heads or tails.
Tails.
Oh, tails is Eastern. Eastern's okay. Winning.
Okay, that's good. We're split anyway. I got 6 out of 6. That was my first perfect round last week. I was happy with that. You got 5 out of 6, so 11-9 in the score there. Calder Northern, so I'll beat Craigie Byrne for the double header on Saturday afternoon. I'm going to go with my gut and say Northern because Calder would probably be favourites, but my gut keeps telling me Northern, so I'm going to go with Northern.
Yeah, it'll be an entertaining one. I think they've both got a deceptive amount of top-end talent. I'd like to see Northern go well. I'm going to tip Calder, though. Oakley.
I think Calder are just figuring out their newer system still with a new coach. I think that's just probably where they fall behind at the moment.
Oakley have Tassie, which is coming off the bye, but they'll be keen, some of their top players, to play some good footy before another couple of week break before they again play again. Who wins?
Oakley have to bounce back. I'd kind of be quite alarmed if they were 0-3 heading into this break, to be honest. Like, given they're going to lose a lot of those boys. Tassie, the scoreline probably flattered them against Murray a little bit. I think this will be close for a little bit, and then Oakley will probably flex their muscles and say, this is us.
The other thing we should touch on with Oakley that we didn't before, they were missing Finn O'Sullivan and Tom Gross, but I'm going to say Tassie is going to win this one in an upset. Bendigo versus Gippsland as part of the triple header at Mars Stadium. Who wins?
Oh, I haven't seen Gippsland in the flesh. I think this will be really close. Bendigo need to put it, like, they can't have their lapses. That's their only issue at the moment. I still think they win this in a really close one.
Bendigo's another one that's going to give me messages if I don't tip them. I'm going to tip Gippsland. I just think their midfield's just a little bit better.
And I'd agree. Bendigo's forward line, though.
It's hard. Geelong is playing Murray in the second leg of that doubleheader.
Murray.
Yeah, I think
Murray should have won last week. I think their best can beat quite a lot of teams. They just need to put it together.
Murray. And GWV have Dandenong, both teams looking for their first win of 2024.
Dandenong in this. Rebels will just struggle without their top end, to be honest. But they're still competitive. Like I said, I don't think that score reflected it against Geelong. Yep, Dandenong for me. That wraps it up. We will see every single game this weekend. So be prepared for next week will be a round review plus a power rankings. It will just, we went for 40 minutes. A power rankings adds another 10 minutes. I think at the end of each game, we're going to give our power ranking for where each team sits next week.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. And we're going to get a post up after that as well of where each team sits. So thank you all for watching. Stay tuned on our socials for a bit more content. And you want to see who's played well each week, stats post goes up each week. Now, a few quotes we're getting about these plays as well. So make sure to head over to the socials for that. Thank you all for watching, and we will see you next week.
Hello, I'm Con.
And I'm Stav.
And we're Edinaki. You're listening to
Radio Karam.
Oi, oi, oi. Oi.
IGA, oi. It's shopping night. Oi. IGA, oi. Where the price oi. Is right. Oi. Seaford North, oi. IGA, oi. For your groceries oi. And liquor. Oi. IGA oi. Express, oi. There's nothing oi. Quicker.